All right, so teachers and parents are exhausted and overwhelmed, and boys are being labeled, medicated, or shut down instead of understood. Today we're talking about something a little bit uncomfortable but critical, how we are unintentionally failing boys emotionally and what it takes to raise boys who can feel, connect, and thrive. Dr. Gloria K. Vanderhorst is a psychologist with nearly 5 decades of experience helping children, adults, couples, and especially boys heal emotional wounds and develop emotional strength. Dr. Gloria, it's so good to have you here. I just want to get into it. Why are boys so often the ones labeled too much, difficult, or the problem, especially in early childhood?
Well, the reason is that they are actually different. They come into the world with a broader range of emotional expression. And that is something that I don't think people recognize. That's
No,
not.
I actually did realize that they have a broader
No,
range of emotional expression. That's
they
interesting to
do.
me.
They do. And if you think about it, we have memory and experience from at least the last trimester in utero. So if you think about, moms putting headsets on their bellies so that the infant inside there can hear music, people talking to the fetus, right? Boys, even then, have a broader range of reception of sound. It's fascinating. I don't know why, right? There has to be an adaptation for that. There has to be a genetic reason for that. And I don't know what it is. If anybody listening has jumped into the research and knows, please let me know. But it's true. They come into the world with a broader range of emotional expression. And think about that, right? That means they can get more intense on the positive end, more excited, more exuberant, kind of louder, noisier. And they can get sadder, more distressed. Expressing negative emotion in a more intense way than girls do. And that's uncomfortable for us. I mean, just think about it yourself, right? When somebody starts yelling and going really intense, what happens to you?
Yeah, and I'm picturing it, and now it's kind of making sense to me. Women are so kind of composed, like women get excited, but not excited like a man will get. I've been in arenas with tens of thousands of screaming men, in a sports team, and I've always looked around wondering, how are they so excited, and kind of makes sense.
And so, and when that's happening for an infant, there's a shift that takes place with the mother. And the reason for that is that mothers are not educated about this. They don't have an expectation around my little son, right, is going to get noisier on one end or the other. And so when it happens, they do a natural reaction, like you do in the stadium, right? There's a guy next to you screaming his head off, right? And being incredibly intense. You probably do one of these, right?
Like,
You
what's going on?
look at him and you move back a little bit. Mother's doing the same thing. All right. Infant kind of gets higher, more intense, and mother's doing the same thing, right? She's moving away, she's turning her head, not intentionally. It's just a natural reaction.
So you've worked with, children and boys across many generations. What do you
Absolutely.
feel has changed most in how boys are being raised today?
Well, I think
Well, I
the intensity right now is to put boys and girls, all of our children, into activities. Our kids are programmed to the hilt. When I was a kid, right, you dumped out the back door. You went into the neighbor's yard. You found a couple of other kids to hang out with and go on an adventure with. But that's not happening today. Children are either in an organized activity or they're on a device. Right? So they're really not getting the social interaction that was natural and normal, and figuring out what do I have to do to entertain myself. The entertainment comes to them automatically, and that cuts out a very critical and very important piece of how we end up relating to each other. If I'm
So what is the
interacting
effect
with a
that that's having on
device,
our children?
it's critical, right? Because if I'm interacting with a device, I don't have the opportunity to problem solve with other kids. I need that opportunity, and it's particularly difficult if you're a male. Girls, even with their devices, tend to be able to have more social interaction and spend more time with each other chatting. Boys don't chat, right?
Yeah, it's
Boys
true. They're very
bump each
close.
other and tease each other, but they don't chat. And that puts a very powerful limit on social development when they don't chat.
Absolutely. How early do you think that boys begin learning that certain emotions aren't acceptable?
Actually, right from infancy. But the kicker isn't the infancy. The infancy interaction, mother really does shut down the extreme ranges. So let's say now we have an infant whose emotional range is similar to the emotional range of a female infant. All right, so that's okay. But then when boys start to walk around, we damage them by telling them that they shouldn't cry, they shouldn't play with certain toys. Think of a preschool. You don't want the boy in the kitchen corner, you don't want the boy in the doll corner, right? Now, ask yourself why. All right, chefs. Majority of chefs are male. Why not play in the kitchen corner? All right. Some of those kids are going to grow up to take care of their own children. Why not play in the doll corner? We have these restrictions that boys are not supposed to express a particular range of feeling states, and we really don't like it when they cry.
Yeah, even though as like women, we're like we want to see men show more emotion, but when they do, we're like, oh my God, there's a man showing emotion. You know, like we want it, but then when it happens, it's like, what do we do with it? You know, we've been taught that men are strong and stoic and they don't show that emotion. But I know as like a woman, like wanting that connection is pure, like that's real in my heart. But
It
then when I see
is.
it makes me feel a little bit I guess I uncomfortable.
Right. And I'm glad that you can really say that and talk about it, because that is the reality. We as females say, we want an intimate relationship. Well, that means feelings, right? It isn't just sexual. That means feelings. I want someone who understands my feelings. I want someone who shares their feelings. But we've been trained as women that if a man shares his feelings, if he cries, that there's something wrong, right? We don't welcome that. So when the guy comes home from work and is disappointed by something that happened, right? Maybe he didn't make a sale, maybe he didn't get a promotion, right? And you read on the face and in the body posture, something is uncomfortable, something bad happened, and you ask, what happened today? And he gives a one sentence answer. It was a really bad day. The woman turns back to whatever she was doing before, right? She doesn't pursue that. She doesn't say, hey, come and sit down. I want to hear more about it. She's satisfied with the announcement and doesn't want to dig into the details. And that's a real disservice to the male population. And, no wonder our men get into trouble in relationships, all right, and get aggressive in relationships because we don't have a way for them to talk through the injury, the emotion, the experience that they've had at work. And so that those things just keep building up and building up and building up until one day, there's an explosion.
Or they are using other things to numb themselves. I was in a relationship with someone who was a decade older than me. So I'm 40. He was in his early 50s and of the generation that, you don't show emotion. And I'm one of those women who want to know. Like, I'm like, I know something's bothering you. Let's talk about it. And he would, you could tell, like, it was too hard and too difficult for him to go there. So, is this what happens to boys when their feelings are minimized or managed or corrected from a young age? They learn that
Absolutely.
it's not safe.
Absolutely. We train boys as soon as they're on their feet. Right? We allow them a latitude of negative expression when they're infants. All right? They can cry, they can make noise, they can be fussy, but when they're on their feet, they can't do that anymore. All right? I have a classic example from my own experience visiting friends with a 3-year-old boy. We had a 3-year-old girl. They're playing very nicely while the adults are chatting until my daughter keeps his favorite toy and he can't get it back. All right. So he gets distressed. He gets up, he starts whimpering, he comes towards his parents and is starting to cry. And his dad whacks him in the chest and tells him to stop crying. We treat boys that way. Everybody, mostly everybody, will tell a boy to stop crying. Right? And men have all kinds of phrases to shame each other if they dare head into a more emotional, tender space. Right? You're supposed to man up, don't be a sissy. I mean, they have all kinds of language to shut down any male trying to be sensitive or emotional or to share something on that deeper level. We shame men for having emotion.
So is this a universal thing for men? Like, are all men born with a wider range of emotion, or is it an individual thing? Because now that I'm hearing about this and it's just like kind of blowing my mind, I almost feel like women are the ones that are the
Yeah,
tougher ones or the stronger ones.
it should blow your mind.
Yeah, because
I
I
think
mean,
it's universal.
women are so strong, like women are so strong. We go through what we do with our cycles and menopause and raising kids and having babies, and we're the ones that are allowed to be emotional.
Yeah, and I think if you look towards the future, I think there has to be an adaptive reason for shutting down that full range of emotion in a male. So, I go back to caveman days, all right? I don't want my male whimpering in the cave. I want him to pick up his spear, not have fear, and go out and kill something so that we can eat. All right? So it has been adaptive. It's no longer adaptive to limit the male population to not being able to access the full range of feelings. I mean, that's why there is violence. That's why our jails are full of men. They're not full of women, right? They're full of men because they don't have the permission, the history to express themselves emotionally. And so they get into physical interactions with other people, and that gets them into trouble.
Yeah, and another thing is we expect them to be strong. Like it's like, oh, you're taking out the garbage, you're lifting the heavy things. So we put this expectation on that they're going to be the strong, tough ones,
That's right.
get a group of men together to help move because men are strong, right? Like there's
Right,
that
right.
as well.
Yes. And so we just perpetuate this sense that emotion is the territory of women, not the territory of men. And we need to change that moving forward. Yeah, if you just think of all of the things that will happen in the future with artificial intelligence, I believe that that will give us a lot more free time. Right? If a robot can do my laundry and fold my clothes, right? I'm gonna have some free time. Right? And so we're gonna have more interaction with each other. So we really need to look seriously at how can we facilitate healthier interactions between men and women so that they can problem solve, so that they can enjoy each other, all right? So that they can be intellectual or be silly even. All right, we need to be able to look at the future and take this limitation seriously and remove it.
So what does healthy emotional development in boys actually look like?
I think it looks like being able to have access to tenderness. That is happening, right? If you look at the trend for men staying home with children, that's increasing significantly. And that's healthy. It's healthy for the father and it's healthy for the children because the father, interestingly enough, has a larger tolerance for emotional expression than the mother does. All right, so that just goes along with the fact that they naturally have access to a broader range of emotional expression, so they can tolerate a broader range of emotional expression.
Women, so you're saying women, the mother, will shut down if there's an extreme emotion, whereas men are built to handle it.
That's right. All right, so just think of, two boys wrestling in the living room, right? Mother's tolerance level is much shorter than father's tolerance level of that.
It's very true. Very
Right.
true. Wow, that's so interesting. So then how do we respond like to an emotional situation that a boy is going through without shutting them down or rescuing them? Like, how can a mother especially do that?
It's very difficult because we are trained socially to expect that our men are not going to be, we use all these horrible words, right? Sissies, pansies, right? So all of the softer end of the emotional range is labeled with shame. So I think the first thing that you have to do is that you have to look honestly at your own expectations. All right. So the mom who will shorten the wrestling match in the living room really needs to ask herself, do I really have to shorten that? All right. They're intense, but they're not hurting each other. All right, and they seem to be enjoying that physical energy and activity. So, can I just let it go a bit longer and tolerate it? All right. The other thing is that we don't talk to our boys on an emotional level. We talk to our girls on an emotional level. All right. If a girl is distressed when she comes home from school, goes to her room, slams the door, you better believe, all right, mother, within a short period of time, is gonna go up there, knock on the door, go in, sit down, and allow that child to disclose, right? What's the distress? What happened? We don't do that same action with our boys. All right. We let them sit there a bit longer, right? Which sends a message to the boy that your emotions really aren't that important. And sometimes we don't go at all. We wait for them to come back out into the public space. Now that sends a very powerful message. That you take care of your own emotional distress and then we'll process it later. And that's very common, both for mothers and fathers interacting with boys and for adult women interacting with men, right? They let them kind of go away, stew in their own juices, and wait for them to come back. Instead of saying to themselves, that person's distressed, right? They need support. They need acknowledgement, all right? They need connection. It's about connection. And we avoid that with men. We wait for them to come back rather than being present, and available for them to be able to talk and dump whatever was happening.
And I mean, what's coming to mind is how important it is for the mom and male and female father and mother figures to model that behavior as caregivers with each other, right? So
Right.
if the boys see mom and dad talking about emotional things or dad expressing to mom how he's going through something emotional, then that would make that little boy feel like it was welcomed,
Right.
right? But
Absolutely.
how do we do
Yeah.
that if these men are never taught how to utilize or access their emotions themselves, right? So it feels like it's like a no-win at this point.
Well, we're doing it right here. Think about that, right? Anyone who is listening or watching this is going to start thinking, wow, I need to change, all right? I need to educate myself. It's also true if you look at some of the literature, some of the books that are coming out. There are so many books now with direction and incidents of how to raise a boy. Lots of literature is being published that challenges us to take a new look at the way in which we relate to our boys. All right, so both male authors, female authors are publishing things so you can have access that wasn't available to my parents, right?
Right.
There was no one talking about this when I was growing up, and now it is a topic, all right? I'm talking about it, other people are talking about it, people are writing about it. I'm writing a book about it, right? So there's access to information that wasn't there before, right? And there are also new developments in therapy that facilitate taking a deeper dive into your emotional history and helping you to uncover and rediscover the strength in your emotional history and how you can recapture emotion that's been taken away from you. In essence, our brain holds everything, all right? So you haven't lost the ability. So the boy who's been trained not to go into the softer end of the emotional continuum has not lost that capability. It's just been shut down. It's been boxed up. That box can be open. And when that box is open, then the man can actually have access to the full range of emotions. And that's fabulous to think about.
That is fabulous to think about. Now, as a woman who, may have convinced their husband or partner or boyfriend or son to finally, perhaps get therapy or see someone to talk about that, to start accessing these emotions. And then, so the man starts accessing these emotions, how do we welcome that? Because I know, like, I have friends who are married and they've, their husband start therapy and they're like, wow, I didn't realize what a feat this was going to be, because it literally opens up, I'll use coin the term Pandora's box,
It
right?
does.
Suddenly all of these suppressed emotions start coming out and we don't know as women how to handle that. So how do
That's
we,
true.
yeah, so how do we even begin?
So you have to give yourself permission to not know, right? You have to really admit, this is scary. I don't know what's happening, and I don't know what to do, right? And if you can give yourself permission to not know, then you can relax. All right, then you can just say, okay, all I need to do is to be present, right? I don't have to solve it. I don't have to fix it. I don't have to manage it. Think of all the things that women do in the course of raising a family, right? They're overseeing, they're managing, they're directing, they're tracking. I don't have to do any of that. I just have to be present. Right, and allow my husband to explore the range of feelings that he's discovering in the course of therapy. And if I can allow myself to be present and appreciate, just be able to say, I'm glad that you can tell me these things, right? I don't know how to problem solve around it. But this is a new beginning for both of us. So, keep coming, keep talking, keep telling me these things, And where we get lost is we think, oh, we have to automatically solve this. All right.
Right.
So if he's coming and saying, you've been treating me this way for X number of years, and I'm learning now that it just feels like a put down to me. All right. You want to kind of immediately jump in and offer a solution, right? Or a defense or an apology. But in essence, what you need to be able to do is to listen, is to be a receptacle. Right, is to be a safe place for him to deposit that, right? So you have to think of yourself as this big bucket, right? And it's all right for him to put things into that bucket. I don't have to do anything with them immediately, other than receive them and appreciate that he's sharing it. And that's sometimes really hard for people to do. They want to defend themselves. They want to make it good right now. It's all right to say, wow, that's overwhelming, but I'm glad that you're telling me this thing. And eventually we'll get it all sorted out. It's all right to be in limbo. And I think that's what the female has to do. She has to tolerate being in limbo.
Instead of going into fix it mode, because as soon as you start going into fix it mode, then you're shutting them down again, and then it just continues that cycle.
Right, that's right. Right on target.
So
So
what
it's a
happens?
challenge, but you're capable of doing it.
Absolutely. So, what is happening to relationships, marriages, and parenting cycles when boys grow up this emotionally disconnected?
So it's a problem because when they don't have access to their full range of feelings, they cannot really engage in family problem solving. Right? So there will always be a distance if the male cannot identify his own feeling reactions and feeling states and then communicate those in a way that other people can hear it, right? If you communicate that, at a high volume, you intimidate. And so people are not going to be interested in doing more research about what's going on with you. If you don't communicate it, right? If you just kind of hold on to all of it, then actually, you damage your own physiology, right? You end up with heart attacks and kidney disease and overweight and all other kinds of things. And so the key for all of us is to be transparent enough to say it's all right for me to be vulnerable, and it's all right for him to be vulnerable, and we don't have to solve it today. We've got plenty of time, all right, to learn, to move through, to take baby steps towards really establishing intimacy. And you can establish intimacy, but you need to do it in baby steps.
I love that it's never too late. Like, I love knowing that it's never too late because it's there. It's like once
That's
you learn
right.
how to ride a bike, you know how to ride a bike. It may take a little
Right.
bit of practice, but you know how to do it.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And you can learn at any age.
Absolutely. So interesting. I totally am looking at the male species in a different light right now.
Good. Good. Very good. Yes. And we all should. We all should. Right? Because we restrict them, we limit them, it creates emotional harm for them and for us.
Especially with all those unrealistic expectations that we put upon them, even if it's not consciously,
Right.
it's now just being aware of what we're doing will create change.
Right. And I honestly believe that the majority of it is not conscious, right? We just have not understood what the male brain is actually capable of and what the culture has been doing to limit access to feeling states.
Absolutely. So, if parents out there are listening today, and if you could give them a few tips about raising their boys, like what would you tell them? What are five things that parents could start doing today to stop this from occurring?
So one is, dig into the books that are out there. Find a book about raising boys that speaks to you, all right? That you could actually dive into. I think that would be amazing, all right? Two is actually trust what I've said, right? That boys do have a broader range of emotional expression. They can learn to access that at any age and change your expectation. Really be honest with yourself that there's more that you can expect in a relationship than what you have expected previously. All right. Three, if you are a new mother, really recognize that the nonverbal interaction that you have with your infant boy is critical. So when he gets louder or noisier or fussier, all right, be purposeful in paying attention to that and not so fast to shut it down. Give him permission to own his feeling states and maybe even try to be interested and fascinated, right? That he could get that angry and that red or that sad, right? Expand the emotional expression. And then, four, when your infant starts to walk, do not do the traditional thing that we have historically done to boys. Let your boy cry, right? If he falls down, it hurts. Right? Pick him up. Give him comfort. I cannot tell you how many times I have seen parents at the mall, at the playground, have a little girl in distress, pick her up and ask her what happened. Have a little boy in distress, right? And ask him what happened. If he gives a good enough answer, then he gets picked up. Stop that. Right? Stop that. All right? And then lastly, continue to be curious. Be really interested in the development of boys and how we can give them access to the full range of emotion. Be curious, be interested, and talk to others about it.
I love this conversation that we had. It really reframes parenting boys, not as, managing their behavior, because we always hear, oh, boys in their twos are, wild, but it's more about guiding their emotional development, allowing them to feel the way they feel. So thank you so much for, being here and helping parents understand what boys truly need. So can you let us know where people can learn more about you and the work that you're doing and where they can find your books? Just tell us more
Yes,
about your work.
you can find me online very easily. Go to my website. It's www.drvandersort.com. So it's www.drvanderhorst.com. A, I'm happy to talk to anybody. and help you with your own parenting of your boys. And I have a book out right now called Read, Reflect, Respond, which is a journal book. And it is designed to help you examine your own emotional history. It's unique in that, as a journal book, there's an essay on one page, and the facing page has a couple of stimulating questions, but the facing page is blank so that you can tap into much earlier pieces of history. Your brain stores everything. And the way that you access it is not through language. You access it through motion and action. You access it through drawing or scribbling. And that will open up stores of emotional history for you. So get a book, have fun with it. And then there is another book that
Another
will
book
come
that
out soon, and I am working on a book for fathers on how to raise their sons.
Amazing.
So just keep watching my website. You'll see everything. And sign up to receive my blog. That comes out every week.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here. Do you have any last minute thoughts on the topic today?
Just to encourage everyone to be more curious and interested in raising boys.
Thank you so much. And to our audience, we will have the links for Dr. Gloria Vanderhorst in our show notes so you can have access to her website and her books and all the wonderful teachings. And if you are a parent with a boy, I hope this has made you think of them a little bit differently. I know I am completely blown away by what I learned today on this episode. Thanks again and take care, everyone.